been a great blessing this past week to be able to sit at the feet of Brother Steve Montz and hear him as he's preached God's Word unto us. We know gospel meetings do so many things. One of them is they help to propel us forward in the work that we do as a local congregation. And that's what we do today as we continue the work that we do from week to week, building on the momentum that this good gospel meeting has given us. Again, I appreciate the manner in which it was supported by your good attendance. I want us to take a look for a few moments this morning at one of the Lord's parables in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. We're going to look at some observations we need to make and some simple lessons we need to learn from the parable of the 10 virgins. This parable is one of a series of parables that the Lord used to teach His disciples to be prepared for His return. At the beginning of chapter 24, Jesus is asked a question by His disciples of when He will return, what's the sign of His coming, and He went on to give some instruction about that and about the destruction of Jerusalem in chapter 24. But then towards the end of the chapter, in response to that particular question of His return and the end of the world, Jesus gave a very simple instruction. Looking at verses 42 through 44, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." All this talk that goes on even today about when the Lord is going to return and signs of the end and we're living in the last days and all this, and you can see the signs around you, and the Lord still tells us today through Scripture, watch and be ready because you don't know. Period. That's the end of that discussion. And then He goes on to give, at the end of chapter 24, the parable of the faithful and the evil servant, and talks about what happens if we're not prepared. And then on into chapter 25, there are three different parables that are given. I want us to look and study from the first one, the parable of the 10 virgins. And at this time, let's read down through the parable. Let's read verses 1 through 13 together. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Remember what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And when the Lord taught in parables, He took everyday events that those He was talking with would have understood and would have been able to appreciate, and He gave a lesson about spiritual things through those physical events or those physical occurrences. And that's exactly what is happening here. Wedding customs in Jesus' day were a lot different than in our day today. And Jesus is giving an example here that would have been very common in His time. What happened when a wedding took place among the Jews in the first century is that the groom would leave with his friends from his house, and they would make a procession to his bride's home, to the mother and father's house, and there he would get his bride. And she, accompanied by her friends, with the groom and his friends, they would make their way back to his house. And when they got back to the house, they would enter into the house, and there would be a feast, and there would be festivities there. It would be a joyous occasion. Now, while the bridegroom went away to get his bride, to get his wife, other friends who were not a part of the procession would be there at the house of the bridegroom and would be outside waiting for him to return. And that's where we find these 10 virgins. They are outside, they are waiting, and the wait has gone long into the night, to the point that they've even sat down and they have fallen asleep. And then the cry rings out, the bridegroom is coming, and they get up and they get their lamps and they begin to light the lamps. And that's the focus of the parable, is them lighting their lamps. Jesus tells us that the number was 10, and there are 5 that he identifies as being wise, and there are 5 that the Lord identifies as being foolish. Those who were wise brought their lamps, but they also brought some extra oil. And those who were foolish, they only had their lamps. Well, when they hear the cry that the bridegroom is coming, they all wake up and they all begin to prepare their lamps. Now, the lamps that they're talking about, and I've seen one of these. I don't have one. If you want to get the preacher a gift, this might make a good gift. But I've seen one. They were clay, really. They were flat clay bowls that would have fit in the palm of your hand, smaller than the palm of my hand. Circle clay bowls. There was an opening in the top, and on the side there was a spout where the wick would go. And of course, that's where it was lit, and then the oil would be poured in the top, and the lamp would hold the oil. Well, of course, if it's that small, it doesn't hold a lot of oil. It doesn't take long before the oil would burn out, and it would have to be replaced. And that's the situation. They've got these little bitty lamps, and they're going to light them, but they don't have a lot of oil. And so 5 have brought some extra oil in a flask, and 5 have not. And of course, they ask to borrow the oil from the 5, and they tell them no, but go and purchase, which would have been a very difficult thing to do at midnight. But again, remember, we're looking at a parable, and they're told to go and purchase. And while they're away, here comes the procession. Here comes the bridegroom and the bride, and they enter into the house, and those friends that are waiting there at the house, they go inside with them, and the door is shut. And that's the picture that we have. Later, these 5, they get their oil, and they come back, and they realize they're too late. They knock at the door wanting in, and it's too late. They're not allowed in. And Jesus here is teaching a lesson about the kingdom of heaven and our personal readiness or our personal preparation. So that being said, I want us now to go back and look at this parable. And I want us to consider 3 lessons that we need to learn. There are a lot of lessons here, but I want to focus on 3. And I want us to look at it in this way. This parable presents us with 3 things that we cannot do. 3 things that we cannot do. And you know, sometimes you tell someone you can't do something, well, that gets their attention. What do you mean I can't do it? Well, I hope I've got your attention, because we're going to talk about 3 things, friend, that you cannot do. Number 1, this parable teaches that we cannot neglect preparation and still be ready when the Lord comes back. We cannot neglect to prepare ourselves and make adequate preparation and be ready when the Lord returns. Verse 10, which I believe really is the focus of the parable here, verse 10 says that those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. Those who were ready, those who were prepared. The Bible teaches that heaven is a prepared place. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, now keep your place there in Matthew 25. We're going to come back.
But in John chapter 14, Jesus is teaching his apostles. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So we see that heaven is a prepared place, but what this parable helps us to see is that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. That we must prepare ourselves to enter when the door is opened. And if we are not prepared, we will not be allowed to enter. It's not we will not enter. If we're not prepared, we will not be allowed to enter. Now come back to this parable and come back to those five who were denied entrance. These five virgins were not denied entrance because they were wicked or unrighteous or unholy, ungodly, immoral, blasphemous, hypocrites. They were denied entrance because they weren't ready. Because they weren't prepared. You see, you don't have to be wicked and evil to escape heaven. You just have to be unprepared. And that's one of the messages found in this parable. The difference between wise and foolish people is the willingness and the ability to look ahead, to see what lies ahead, to take precaution and to plan and to prepare. And there are some things in this life that we learn by experience that we have to prepare for. Very few of us are able to just face that situation and take it without any preparation. Think about when you're going to school and you've got a test coming. I don't know about nowadays, but when I went to school, you had a test at the end of each semester. And that test covered everything that you talked about and studied that semester. Well, you couldn't slack off the whole semester or in college skip the classes and then show up and ace that test. At least, I couldn't. If you can, you're the exception to the rule. No, we can't be lazy and the night before cram all night long and go and ace that test. Think about something else. Think about taking a trip. We're kind of excited about that in our house because we're taking a trip. You're leaving again? Yes, we're leaving again. Taking a trip tomorrow. We're taking a vacation. We've been planning it over a year. Guess what? Our bags are already packed. We know better than to wake up on Monday morning and prepare to leave at 8 o'clock and say, okay, let's get the suitcase out and here we go. No, we've been preparing for this. We've been setting things aside and we've been packing and we're going to be ready to go. Christian, listen. There's a test we're all going to take. It's called Judgment Day. There's a trip we're all going to make. We want to go to heaven when we die. And we've got to prepare for it so that we're ready. And if we're not ready, we're not going to pass. And we're not going to make it. And this parable helps us to understand that. We've got to make preparation if we are going to make it. How much preparation are we making? You see, it is impossible for you and I to prepare in one moment what we should have been doing over a lifetime. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And let me say this again as you're turning there. It is impossible for someone to prepare in one moment what they should have been accomplishing over an entire lifetime. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, look, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. "And also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're talking about going to heaven. This passage promises an open door, an abundant entrance. But it's not for those who wait till the last moment and run to the baptistry. It's for those who over a lifetime have added to their faith virtue and virtue knowledge and have developed the characteristics of self-control and patience and learning to love in the face of provocation and rejection and hate. And on down the list we go. You see, it's going to be impossible for you and I to hear that trumpet sound and say, oh, I've got to get ready. No. We've got to prepare ourselves now. That's the point of the parable. Jesus said that the bridegroom delayed, and he came at midnight. He came at an unexpected time, and that's the point of the parable. You don't know when the Lord's going to come. And so we cannot neglect preparation and be ready. We've got to prepare ourselves now. Secondly, this parable teaches us that we cannot borrow what must be bought. And let's come back to the 10 virgins. And 5 of them have oil to spare and 5 of them do not. And we look at this parable and we scratch our heads and we say, you know, if they'd been following the teachings of Christ, they would have shared their oil with the others, wouldn't they? I mean, Hebrews 13 and at verse 16 tells us that we're to do good and to share with those who are in need. And shouldn't they have shared? Well, let's remember we're reading a parable. And the point of the parable is to set forth a situation to drive home a point. It's not about sharing oil. It's about not taking care of the things that we need to take care of to be ready. It's about personal responsibility. There are some things that Christians must possess that can only be obtained by our own personal efforts. For instance, we must have our own faith. You're not going to get into heaven with your mom and dad's faith. You must have your own faith. We must have our own faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is. And we must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 teaches us. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, I say to you that you shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. That's personal, friend. I can't borrow someone else's faith. I've got to have my own. Obedience. We cannot obey the gospel by proxy. That is, we can't have our relatives be baptized for us. We've got to obey the gospel ourselves. We must respond with our own obedience. I'm glad that your grandparents or great-grandparents were charter members of the Knollwood Church of Christ, but that doesn't mean anything as far as your standing with God is concerned. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. You must obey the gospel yourself. And you must obey the teachings of Christ yourself. In Matthew chapter 28, in the Great Commission, the apostles were to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now, no one can do that for us. We're to be taught to obey the Lord, and we're to be taught what those commandments are, and we must do it ourselves. And I can't borrow a good character from somebody else. Character is something that I'm responsible for developing myself. It must be forged by my own experience and by learning to react to the trials of life in the proper way. And then I can develop my own godly character. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, God holds us accountable for our own faith, our own obedience, and our own character. we must all give account of ourselves to God. Romans 14 and at verse 12. So in this parable, we see five who didn't have the oil, and they were told that they had to go and buy their own. The others weren't willing to share. Well, we need to understand, in this parable, what the Lord is teaching is that there's some things that honestly cannot be shared with us. We've got to go do it ourselves. We've got to develop it ourselves. We've got to buy it ourselves. Dear friend, are you developing your own faith? Are you obedient unto Christ? Are you developing your own character? Are you planning on getting into heaven on the family plan? Because that works when it comes to your cell phone, but I don't read that anywhere here in the Bible. There isn't a family plan. It's you and the Lord. You better take that seriously. Are you prepared? And then third, this parable teaches us that we cannot recall lost opportunities. The coming of the bridegroom was announced. The foolish virgins went to make their preparations. When the bridegroom came, those who were ready went in with him, and the doors were closed, and they were not opened again. Now these five virgins, they wanted to attend the wedding feast. They were so close. They had been in the company of others who were now inside, but they were excluded because their lack of preparation caused them to miss the opportunity. In the parable in verse 10, when it says that the door was shut, Jesus there is speaking of the finality of lost opportunities. As long as that door is open, there's always the opportunity to go inside. But once it is closed, there's no more opportunity. Think about Noah building the ark. As long as that door was open, anybody could have walked inside. But the Lord closed that door. And when the Lord closed that door, that was it. That was it. There was no more opportunity. The door of opportunity for us as individuals will close when we die. Hebrews chapter 9 and at verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. When we close our eyes in death, whether it be something that we can see coming or something that happens unexpectedly, it doesn't matter. When we close our eyes in death, that's it. There is no more opportunity. There is no last chance to make things right. You know, not only do we have our own death, but we also have the return of the Lord. Because when the Lord returns, that's going to close the door of opportunity for all of mankind. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That door is open today, friend. The door of opportunity is open for you today because the Lord is patient and the Lord is extending one more opportunity to you. But someday that trumpet is going to sound and time is going to end, and you're going to find yourself on the outside wanting in. But it'd be too late then. It'd be too late to go back and to make preparations to be included among God's people. The Lord would have us to live in such a way that we are taking advantage of every opportunity that we have. Work while there is day, for the night is coming in which no man can work. John chapter 9 and at verse 4. Our lives are full of different opportunities, but this parable focuses upon the greatest opportunity of all, and that is the opportunity to go to heaven. And what a tragedy it would be for us to live our lives among God's people and then find out on that day that the door is closed to us because we didn't make personal preparation. What a tragic thing that would be. We cannot recall lost opportunities. Friends and brethren both, listen to me. One day the Lord is going to return. And those of us who are ready are going to rejoice in His appearing. It's what we have been waiting for. We're going to enter into the wedding, and we're going to dwell in the presence of God's glory forever. But those who are unprepared are going to be excluded. They're going to be on the outside. And they're not going to be standing outside in the cold and in the darkness holding a little lamp. We learned on Thursday night in our gospel meeting that they'll be cast into hell to suffer torment for all of eternity. Again, because they're wicked? Because they're evil? No, the point of the parable is because they're unprepared. Are you prepared? Are you prepared, dear Christian? Or, let me just ask very honestly, are you just along for the ride? Are you just hanging out? Are you just along for the ride? Or are you prepared to be with the Lord for eternity? We had a great gospel meeting this past week, and there was a lot of people who were here for every service. There were some members who were present several times during the gospel meeting that I've never seen attend the nights of a gospel meeting before. And that's encouraging. But you know, there are some that we see here this morning that we haven't seen since last Sunday morning. Let me ask, are you preparing yourself? Or are you just hanging out with us while we're preparing ourselves? You need to answer that for yourself. You need to answer that. Jesus says, as this parable comes to a close in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So we need to watch, and we need to be ready. And I want to tell you, the only way that we can be ready on that day is to be ready every day. That's the only way that we can be ready. We must live in a state of readiness. So I want to know, are you ready? Are you outside of Christ? Are you not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God? You have to become one. You need to get ready. You need to confess your faith in Christ. Repent of your sins. You need to let us take you this very hour and baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you can be ready. You need to do that. If you've done that in the past, but you've slacked off, you haven't been developing your faith, you haven't been setting forth a track record of obedience to Christ, you haven't been developing the character that the Lord is looking for in His servants, you need to repent. You need to get yourself ready. Maybe you need to take care of that publicly. Confess sin and get things right. Maybe you need prayer so that you can overcome whatever it is that you're facing and that's keeping you from being prepared. Whatever your spiritual need is, we invite you to come forward and let us help you with that. Everything is ready if you're ready. Come as we stand and sing this song.